Boy,
I was thinking this week, I was traveling down to the Bay Area, and on my way back, I was listening to a gentleman speaking, and it really struck a chord with me, because he was talking about forgiveness. How forgiveness can be such a freeing thing for us individually, and how unforgiveness can bind us up so badly. And so I wanted to touch on that here today. See, because Christ instructed that we forgive others as he forgave us and our Father in heaven has forgiven us. But if we don't forgive other people, it puts a noose around our neck. And one thing we need to understand first and foremost about forgiving other people, most of the time those people don't even realize that you're forgiving them. They shouldn't. It's not about them. It's about us. It's not the fact that by us going up to them and say, I forgive you for this, that they go, oh, great, now I can be a totally changed person. It has nothing to do with that. And yet at times, some of us might go to the fact that they, by golly, they need to know that I forgive them. No, they don't. Because first and foremost, you have to understand, they might not even want your forgiveness. They might not even think they need to be forgiven. And they might not even have a clue that they had done you wrong. For the most part, they don't. I know I have offended people. I have not done it intentionally. There are times in my previous life that I did do it intentionally. But there are still some times where I might say something that might offend somebody. I don't do it intentionally, because it's not my intent to go out and purposely hurt somebody's feelings. But you know, our words at times can be pretty cutting, can't they? They can. Sometimes we might say something in jest, and what's funny to us isn't quite so funny to the person that it's being jested against. And so we have to understand that forgiveness, the act of forgiveness, is all about us. 100% about us. In the book of Ephesians, it says in chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, and then 26 through 27, then skipping 28 and going 29 to 32, it says, be ye angry and sin not. First of all, really think about that verse. Get upset, get mad. But don't get mad to a point where it's going to cause you to sin. Some people think that if you're a Christian, you can never get upset. Well, I seem to remember a certain savior of mine that walked through the temple one day and saw the money changers and merchants selling all kinds of doves and things to people, because not everybody had things to bring to give as an offering, as a sacrifice. So all this money was being changed in the exchanged in the temple. And what did Christ do? Do you think he went over there and said, let's say this is the table, he goes, do you think he went, oh, bless you, my son. I think he went more like this. Get out of here! You're defiling my Father's house. Do you not understand what you're doing? But he was not mad to the point where it caused him to sin. He was just mad because things were being done that were contrary to how God wants things to be done. And God instructs us through Jesus Christ that we are to forgive other people. Why? For our benefit. For our benefit. You cannot control one thing about anybody else. Not even your own kids. And the older they get, the more you realize that. True? All those that have grown-up kids are sitting here going, oh, baby, you betcha. So it says there, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Do you notice that? Grieve not. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, when you do things, when you get upset, you say something, when you harbor ill feelings, when you think bad thoughts, it grieves the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. It causes it to be saddened, to be burdened down. And you don't want the Holy Spirit inside of you to be feeling down. You don't want it to be grieved. You want it to be free to express and lift you up and connect to the Heavenly Father. Do you not? That's what we want. My wife used to have a saying at her office that says, if you have a tale of woe and gloom, please leave it at the door before you enter into this place. True? Because who here loves to be around somebody that's always going, you're just like, oh yeah, can I just sit around you a little longer? Maybe we can go spend an afternoon together. No. And you might hear stuff come out of their mouth, or maybe this could be you. I don't know. But the Spirit of the Lord that lives inside of you does not want to be grieved. It wants to free you from the bondage that unforgiveness has. It's a chain around your neck. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit where you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Here it is. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I want you to notice there. It didn't say let some of the bitterness and a little bit of the malice. It says all. When you do not forgive somebody else, it takes your life and starts bringing it down. It just brings it down lower and lower and lower. Because even if you have a pilot light of bitterness inside of you, it's there to be turned up. And something can happen that it's just going to be like a hot water heater. Anybody ever hear your hot water heater kick on? That's your wrath. And it can kick on pretty fast, can't it? It can take water from freezing to 220 degrees that quick. My wife would say it's in a New York second. Not a New York minute, a New York second. So let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from us, along with all of our malice. And here's what we need to do. We need to be kind to one another. Be kind. Be kind. We have to understand that when we forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that you trust somebody. I want you to really understand this. Forgiving has to do with something that's in the past, does it not? Trusting has to do with something that's in the future. It doesn't mean that if somebody has done you wrong or done something to you, that you have to continue to trust to be around that person. It just means that you need to be able to lay it down and forgive them for it. You don't have to trust them. Does that make sense? There's only one person that we know is never, ever, ever going to harm us, and that's the Father in heaven, through His Son, Jesus Christ. Even sometimes our spouses, our kindlings, our brothers and sisters, whoever it happens to be, they can do things that hurt us. But don't mistake forgiveness for trust, because they're totally separate. And I'm not even hardly going by any of my notes, and this is really good. Thank you, Lord. It says, be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us, or you. When you refuse to forgive, Satan starts to grab a foothold inside of your life. And that's all he needs, is one tiny little spot. Jesus said, a little leaven leavens the whole bread, doesn't it? Affects the whole bread. Who here bakes at all? How big is one grain of yeast? It's tiny, isn't it? It can ruin the whole thing. The whole thing. Why? What does yeast do? I think it causes it to puff up. I must have swallowed some yeast. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is giving up resentment against somebody else and surrendering your right to retaliate. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. They deserve it. They have to be... Somebody has to let them know what they've done. And it's going to be me. They will pay when they least expect it. You've heard people say that, haven't you? It might have come out of your own lips. I don't know. I'll get them back. Oh, I'll get them back. But that's not what forgiveness is about. Could you imagine if Jesus Christ said, I'm forgiving you, but I'm going to get you back someday. Remember when you did this to me? You will pay for that. No, he sent us his grace and mercy. And that's what he expects us to do also. Is it easy to do? No. I cannot tell you how many times there's been a certain person in my life that I want to lash out at. I just want to do unto them as they have done unto me. And every time I go to converse with this person, the Lord says, be gentle, be nice, show love. And every time I do that, I get more cooperation than I know that if I use that ounce of vinegar. And I go, doggone it, Lord, how come you're always right? Just once! I want to give them a piece of my mind. Do you realize if you keep giving pieces of your mind, you will have no mind left? True? Because the pieces, there's only so many. The older I get, and I'm really realizing this, the piece, believe me, there's pieces of my mind you do not want. So if forgiveness is giving up resentments against somebody and surrendering our right to retaliate, unforgiveness is harboring that. Feeling like we deserve it. You did me wrong, so by golly, no matter what happens, I am going to do you wrong. An eye for an eye. True? That's what unforgiveness is. And what happens if you accidentally offend somebody? Do you want them coming back and intentionally doing something to you to make you feel bad? That's not what it's about. That's not what being a Christian is all about. We have to realize that when Christ came into our lives, we gave up that right to retaliate anymore. God will retaliate for you. You want to really get back to somebody? You want to know the secret? Everybody want to know the secret? How do you really get back at somebody? Pray for them. Pray for them. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Yeah. God's got angels that are fighters. Read the Old Testament. You'll see it all about. Did God not send his angels to be with Joshua? Remember when he sent Joshua before Joshua went into the promised land and Joshua went out there, are you for us or against us? He says, I'm here to fight with the Lord's army. Boom! Down he went on his knees and worshiped. God has his angels that will fight for you. Scripture also says, touch my anointed and do them what? No harm. You really think that God doesn't have your back when somebody does something against you? It all works out. So there are reasons why we shouldn't hold on to this negative emotion, this negative feeling of unforgiveness. Number one, it doesn't fit our identity with Christ at all, does it? Can you imagine going around professing that you are a Christian and every time you turn around you are lashing out at somebody? And somebody might look at you and say, really? That's not my idea of what I thought Christianity was all about. I thought it was about love and forgiveness. There are other religions out there in the world that lash out. Are there not? That kill, if you do not believe the way I do, I will kill you. You will die. There's not a forgiveness in the forgiving heart there. It causes the seed of bitterness to continually to grow within us. In the book of Hebrews, it says in 12:15, it says, looking diligently lest any man feel or fail of the grace of God, unless any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby may be defiled. Who here has ever had a tree taken out of your yard? Or you've taken up a tree? What if you didn't take out all the roots? It's going to grow back, isn't it? All of a sudden you got all these little saplings. And they're just coming up everywhere. You got to take out the roots too. If you have bitterness and deceit and anger inside of you, and you don't completely surrender all of it unto God, that root's still living inside of you. And what is Satan going to do? He's going to say, I'm going to start causing that root to produce. And it's going to spring up in your life, and you're going to go through this all over again. It's amazing. It causes us to become bonded, have bondage, have chains around us. In the book of Matthew, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why? Because we have found comfort and forgiveness in Jesus' arms. When you Do the same. When you lay it down, you will start to experience comfort and forgiveness in yourself. It's a form of rebelling against God. Anytime we do things contrary to what God has instructed us to do, is that not a rebellion? When you tell your child, do this or do that, and they say, I'm going to do the opposite. Like you say, don't drive with kids in the car. And then all of a sudden they're coming home from school and you happen to be out there and you see, how come there's five other kids in his car? I just told him this morning. It's not like he could have forgotten. I just said it to him. I just texted it to him 30 minutes ago, right after he got out of school. You know that he willfully defied what you say. Do you not know that? I see some snickers going on. Yeah, we know that. Some of the kids are out there just, I'm ignoring him. So if it's a rebellion against God, it also affects our fellowship with God. Because how can we worship a God who never gets angry with us when we rebel against him? We're in the book of Jeremiah in Bible study, and that is all about rebelling against God. How his people are worshiping other gods, creating treaties with other countries, and not believing that God will take care of them. And God finally had it not to hear, but like above the roof. And he said, you know what? I don't care what you pray anymore. It's too late. And we do not want to become in a position where it becomes too late with God in our own lives. The question I have for you today is this. How long are you going to wait? How long am I going to wait to lay down and completely forgive others? Because it's like taking a knife to your throat every day and saying, I'm just going to cut just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Pretty soon, you're going to hit one of those major arteries, aren't you? And Stuart's a EMT here or volunteer here. Stuart, what happens when you hit the major artery? It's a matter of minutes, isn't it? Yeah. You will let out and die. It will be over. So in order to become or to overcome this unforgiveness, this bitterness, this harboring of malice that we live within, here's my suggestions. Greet every day with a forgiving spirit. Start the day out forgiving those that you don't even know yet have wrongfully accused you, had said something bad about you. Because see, if you start to get around people in the world, it will happen. It happens all the time. So set out the day having a forgiving spirit right off the bat. Here's the biggie. Forgive yourself. Actually, I should have put this one first. Forgive yourself. You can't start to forgive others until you have first forgiven yourself. Jesus said when he was approached about somebody first sinning, he said what? He said, go take the log out of your eye first before you try to remove the splinter from somebody else's. There's a lot about our own lives. There's a lot that we have done in our lives that we have not laid down. Yes, we've had things done to us, but there's a lot of things that we carry that we have done to ourselves that we still carry around that we haven't forgiven ourselves for. We allow our past to hold us back from our future. And when that happens, how can God use you to create you and mold you and shape you into the person he wants you to be as long as you are living with that fear and that shame of not forgiving yourself for whatever it was that you did? It could have been for not turning off your telephone before coming into church. Realize that if God forgave you over 2,000 years ago by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and to take on the sins of the world, and he did that over 2,000 years ago for you and me, and we were not even yet a glimpse in our mother's eyes or our mother's mothers or our grandmother's grandmothers, that's how much he loves you. By forgiving yourself, you will erase all the doubts, all the fears, all the frustration that have kept your past in the present. It took me a long time. I almost didn't marry my wife. And it wasn't because I didn't love her. It was because I had failed in two other marriages. I wasn't a good husband in two other marriages. And I didn't want to take the chance of it happening again. I loved her too much, I thought, to put her through me not being faithful to her. I was letting my past actions dictate how I would live. It took a while to really realize your past does not have to determine your future. It's a decision each and every day not to do the things that you did in the past. Is it not? If you've had a drug addiction, is it really not just a serious decision away? If you've had a drug addiction in the past, did you not finally at one point in your life wake up and say, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm not going to do that anymore. It could be smoking. I know it was for me. I said, Lord, just get me past it. Boom. He delivered me. It can be or should be, or maybe it has been for you too. And if the Lord has delivered you from one thing, He has delivered you and forgiven you of all things. By forgiving yourself, your history is gone. God says, or Jesus said, He throws it where? What is that sea called? The sea of forgetfulness. It doesn't mean that God has Alzheimer's. He just wiped it clean. Your slate is a do-over. Have you ever had things in your life you just said, I want a major do-over? That's what forgiveness has given to you. And forgiving yourself will set you free to become the person in Christ that He says that He has in store for you. All things have died away and become new. Forgive yourself. I don't care what age you are here. I don't care from the youngest child to the eldest person that is here. I could almost, in fact I will, I'll guarantee you that each and every one of us still have things in our life that we are so regretful for, it holds us back from doing something else. So forgive yourself. Why? We need to acknowledge this is serious business. Do we want to stand before our Father someday saying, Lord, I would have become everything that you wanted me to be, except for I just couldn't get over this in my life. I just couldn't do it, Lord. And He says, I know you couldn't do it. That's why I sent my Son and my Holy Spirit so that you could get through it. You relied on Him for this. You relied on Him for that. But you left Him out of this. Why? I don't want to stand before my Father and have to answer that question. I want Him to say, well done. Good job. Attaboy! I love your heart. If we're going to forgive, it's up to us. Not up to somebody else. We don't wait for them to come and beg for our forgiveness. Because that day may never, ever come. I see some of you shaking your head going, yeah, I understand. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, forgive us of not forgiving. For not accepting your forgiveness. Because see, that's what it really boils down to. If we don't forgive, we're not accepting His forgiveness. That means that cross that He got up on, it didn't look near as nice as this. Plus, Jesus was probably a lot taller. Some of you got that. It was like He got up there for nothing. I don't want to think of all the pain and suffering He went through, that He didn't do it, that He did it for absolutely nothing. I want Him to know that I appreciate what He did. I love what He did. I'm glad it was Him and not me. That's an honest feeling. I'm really glad it was Him and not me. If it had been me, you guys probably would have been in trouble. Yeah, some of you are going, well, I'd get up there. Yeah, let's see it when that day comes. You might be having not second thoughts, but third, fourth, and fifth thoughts. Continue to love and to forgive each and every day that you wake up. Pray a prayer of forgiveness. Like I said, you want to really get revenge? Pray for Him. But don't pray for Him out of spite. Pray for Him out of love. Pray that the Lord start to change that person's heart like the Lord has changed your heart. Because you might be that person to somebody else. you might be the one that somebody else is holding a lot of ill feeling about, and you might not even know it. So pray. Pray for them all the time. If we ignore the sin of unforgiveness, it continues to hold us bondage, because we know that Jesus Christ set us free, because He forgave us for all of our sins, and He gives us the grace and strength to lay down our hurts and our troubles and trust that He will handle them. When we do that, you will start to see the fruits of the Spirit that it speaks of in the book of Galatians start to take hold inside of you and start to become manifested. See, because when you have those roots of bitterness and malice and anger, those take place. They can't take place in this. You can't have the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit growing up at the same time. One's either going to choke the other out. Pray that the fruits of the Spirit choke out the fruits of the flesh. Lay it down. Lay them all down at the foot of the cross. God loved you enough to forgive you. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. And start to realize how much you will grow.